So, we're going to be reading The Perks of Being a Wallflower, starting with October 14th, 1991's letter. Dear friend, do you know what masturbation is? I think you probably do because you're older than me, but just in case, I will tell you. Masturbation is when you rub your genitals until you have an orgasm. Wow! I thought that in those movies and television shows when they talk about having a coffee break, they should have a masturbation break. But then again, I think this would decrease productivity. I'm only being cute here. I don't really mean it. I just wanted to make you smile. I meant the wow, though. I told Sam that I dreamt that she and I were naked on the sofa, and I started crying because I felt bad. And do you know what she did? She laughed. Not a mean laugh either. A really nice, warm laugh. She said that she thought I was being cute, and she said it was okay that I had a dream about her, and I stopped crying. Sam then asked me if I thought she was pretty, and I told her I thought she was lovely. Sam then looked me right in the eye. You know that you're too young for me, Charlie. You do know that. Yes, I do. I don't want you to waste your time thinking about me that way. I won't. It was just a dream. Sam then gave me a hug. And it was strange because my family doesn't hug a lot, except my Aunt Helen. But after a few moments, I could smell Sam's perfume, and I could feel her body against me, and I stepped back. Sam, I'm thinking about you that way. She just looked at me and shook her head. Then she put her arm around my shoulder and walked me down the hallway. We met Patrick outside because they didn't like to go to class sometimes, they preferred to smoke. Charlie has a Charlie-esque crush on me, Patrick. He does, huh? I'm trying not to, I offered, which just made them laugh. Patrick then asked Sam to leave, which she did, and he explained some things to me so I would know how to be around other girls and not waste my time thinking about Sam that way. Charlie, has anyone ever told you how it works? I don't think so. Well, there are rules you follow here, not because you want to, but because you have to. You get it? I guess so. Okay, you take girls, for example. They're copying their moms and magazines and everything to know how to act around guys. I thought about the moms and the magazines and the everythings, and the thought made me nervous, especially if it includes TV. I mean, it's not like in the movies where girls like assholes or anything like that. It's not that easy. They just like somebody that can give them a purpose. A purpose? Right, you know? Girls like guys to be a challenge. It gives them some mold to fit in how they should act. Like a mom. What would a mom do if she couldn't fuss over you and make you clean your room? And what would you do without her fussing and making you do it? Everyone needs a mom, and a mom knows this, and it gives her a sense of purpose. Do you get it? Yeah, I said, even though I didn't. But I got it enough to say yeah and not be lying, though. The thing is, some girls think they can actually change guys. And what's funny is that if they actually did change them, they'd get bored. They'd have no challenge left. You just have to give girls some time to think of a new way of doing things, that's all. Some of them will figure it out here, some later, some never. I wouldn't worry about it too much. But I guess I did worry about it. I've been worrying about it ever since he told me. I look at people holding hands in the hallways, and I try to think about how it all works. At the school dances, I sit in the background and I tap my toe, and I wonder how many couples will dance to their song. In the hallway, I see the girls wearing the guys' jackets, and I think about the idea of property, and I wonder if anyone is really happy. I hope they are. I really hope they are. Bill looked at me looking at people, and after class, he asked me what I was thinking about, and I told him. He listened and he nodded and made affirmation sounds. When I'd finished, his face changed into a serious talk face. Do you always think this much, Charlie? Is that bad? I just wanted someone to tell me the truth. Not necessarily. It's just that sometimes people use thought to not participate in life. Is that bad? Yes. I think I participate, though. Don't you think I am? Well, are you dancing at these dances? I'm not a very good dancer. Are you going on dates? Well, I don't have a car, and even if I did, I can't drive because I'm 15. And anyway, I haven't met a girl I like except for Sam, but I'm too young for her, and she would always have to drive, which I don't think is fair. Bill smiled and continued to ask me questions. Slowly, he got to problems at home, and I told him about the boy who makes mixtapes hitting on my sister, because my sister told me not to tell Mom or Dad about it, so I figured I could tell Bill. He got this very serious look on his face after I told him, and he said something to me I don't think I will ever forget this semester or ever. Charlie, we accept the love we think we deserve. I just stood there, quiet. Bill patted my shoulder and gave me a new book to read. He told me everything was going to be okay. I usually walk home from school because it makes me feel like I've earned it. What I mean is that I want to be able to tell my kids that I walked to school like my grandparents did in the old days. It's odd that I'm planning this considering I never had a date, but I guess that makes sense. It usually takes me an extra hour or so to walk as opposed to taking the bus, but it's worth it when the weather is nice and cool like it was today. When I finally got home, my sister was sitting on a chair. My mom and my dad were standing in front of her, and I knew that Bill had called home and told them. And I felt terrible. It was all my fault. My sister was crying. My mom was very, very quiet. My dad did all the talking. He said that my sister was not allowed to see the boy who hit her anymore, and he was going to have a talk with the boy's parents tonight. My sister then said that it was all her fault, that she was provoking him, but my dad said it was no excuse. But I love him. I had never seen my sister cry that much. No, you don't. I hate you. No, you don't. My dad can be very calm sometimes. He's my whole world. Don't ever say that about anyone again. Not even me. That was my mom. My mom chooses her battles carefully, and I can tell you one thing about my family. When my mom does say something, she always gets her way. And this time was no exception. My sister stopped crying immediately. After that, my dad gave my sister a rare kiss on the forehead. Then he left the house, got in his Oldsmobile, and drove away. I thought he probably was going to go talk to the boy's parents. And I felt very sorry for them, his parents, I mean, because my dad doesn't lose fights. He just doesn't. My mom went into the kitchen to make my sister's favorite thing to eat, and my sister looked at me. I hate you. My sister said it differently than she said it to my dad. She meant it with me. She really did. I love you, was all I could say in return. You're a freak, you know that? You've always been a freak. Everyone says so. They always have. I'm trying not to be. Then I turned around and walked to my room and closed my door, put my head under my pillow, and let the quiet put things where they're supposed to be. By the way, I figure you're probably curious about my dad. Did he hit us when we were kids or now even? I just thought you might be curious because Bill was, after I told him about that boy and my sister. Well, if you're wondering, he didn't. He never touched my brother or my sister, and the only time he ever slapped me was when I made Aunt Helen cry. And once we all calmed down, he got on his knees in front of me and said that his stepdad hit him a lot, and he decided in college my mom got pregnant with my older brother that he would never hit his kids. And he felt terrible for doing it. He was so sorry, and he would never hit me again, and he hasn't. He's just stern sometimes. Love always, Charlie. October 15th, 1991. Dear friend, I guess I forgot to mention in my last letter that it was Patrick who told me about masturbation. I guess I also forgot to tell you how often I do it now, which is a lot. I don't like to look at pictures. I just close my eyes and dream about a lady I do not know. And I try not to feel ashamed. I never think about Sam when I do it. Never. That's very important to me, because I was so happy when she said Charlie-esque, since it felt like an inside joke of kinds. One night, I felt so guilty that I promised God I would never do it again. So, I started using blankets. But then the blankets hurt, so I started using pillows. And then the pillows hurt, so I went back to normal. I wasn't raised very religiously because my parents went to Catholic school, but I do believe in God very much. I just never gave God a name, if you know what I mean. I hope I haven't let him down regardless. Incidentally, my dad did have a serious talk with the boy's parents. The boy's mother was very, very angry and screamed at her son, and the boy's father kept quiet. And my dad didn't get too personal with them. He didn't tell them they did a lousy job raising their son or anything. As far as he was concerned, the only important thing was keeping their son away from his daughter. And once that was settled, he left them to deal with their family and came home to deal with his. At least that's how he put it. The one thing I did ask my dad was about the boy's problems at home. Whether or not he thought the parents hit his son, he told me to mind my own business, because he didn't know and he would never ask and didn't think it mattered. Not everyone has a sob story, Charlie, and even if they do, it's no excuse. That's all I said. And then he went to watch television. My sister is still mad at me, but my dad says I did the right thing. I hope that I did, but it's hard to tell sometimes. Love always, Charlie. October 28th, 1991. Dear friend, I'm sorry I haven't written to you in a couple of weeks. I've been trying to participate, like Bill said. It's strange because sometimes I read a book and I think I'm the people in the book. Also, when I write letters, I spend the next 2 days thinking about what I figured out in my letters. I don't know if that's good or bad. Nevertheless, I'm trying to participate. Incidentally, the book Bill gave me was Peter Pan by J.M. Barrie. I know what you're thinking. The cartoon Peter Pan with the Lost Boys? The actual book is about so much more than that, and so much better. It's about the boy who refuses to grow up, and when Wendy grows up, he feels very betrayed. At least that's what I got out of it. I think Bill gave me the book to teach me a lesson of some kind. The good news is that I read the book, and because of its fantasy nature, I could not pretend that I was in the book. That way I could participate and still read. In terms of my participation in things, I'm trying to go to social events that they set up in my school. It's too late to join any clubs or anything like that, but I still try to go to the things that I can. Things like homecoming, football game, and dance, even if I don't have a date. I cannot imagine that I will ever come home for a homecoming game after I leave here, but it was fun to pretend that I was. I found Patrick and Sam sitting in their normal spot in the bleachers, and I even started acting like I hadn't seen them in a year, even though I had seen them that afternoon in lunch. When I ate my orange, and they smoked cigarettes. Patrick, is that you? And Sam, it's been so long. Who's winning? God, college is such a trial. My professor is making me read 27 books this weekend, and my girlfriend needs me to paint signs for a protest rally Tuesday. Let those administrators know we mean business. Dad is busy with his golf swing, and Mom has her hands full with tennis. We must do this again. I would stay, but I have to pick up my sister from her emotional workshop. She's making real progress. Good to see ya. And then I walked away. I went down to the concession stand and bought 3 boxes of nachos and a Diet Coke for Sam. When I returned, I sat down and gave Patrick and Sam the nachos and Sam her Diet Coke, and Sam smiled. The great thing about Sam is that she doesn't think I'm crazy for pretending to do things. Patrick doesn't either, but he was too busy watching the game and screaming at Brad, the quarterback. Sam told me during the game that they were going over to their friend's house later for a party. Then she asked me if I wanted to go, and I said yes because I had never been to a party before. I had seen one at my house, though. My parents went to Ohio to see a very distant cousin get buried or married, I don't remember which, and they left my brother in charge of the house. He was 16 at the time. My brother used the opportunity to throw a big party with beer and everything. I was ordered to stay in my room, which was okay because that's where everyone kept their coats, and it was fun looking through the stuff in their pockets. Every 10 minutes or so, a drunk girl or boy would stumble in my room to see if they could make out in there or something. Then they would see me and walk away. That is, except for this one couple. The This one couple, who I was later told were very popular and in love, stumbled into my room and asked if I minded them using it. I told them that my brother and sister said I had to stay here, and they asked if they could use the room anyways with me still in it. I said I didn't see why not, so they closed the door and started kissing very hard. After a few minutes, the boy's hand went up the girl's shirt and she started protesting. "Come on, Dave." "What?" "The kid's in here. It's okay." And the boy kept working up the girl's shirt, and as much as she said no, he kept working it. After a few minutes, she stopped protesting, and he pulled her shirt off and she had a white bra on with lace. I honestly didn't know what to do by this point. Pretty soon, he took off her bra and started to kiss her breasts, and then he put his hand down her pants and she started moaning. I think they were both very drunk. He reached to take off her pants, but she started crying really hard, so he reached down for his own. He pulled his pants and underwear down to his knees. "Please, Dave, no." But the boy just talked soft to her about how good she looked and things like that, and she grabbed him with her hand and started moving it. I wish I could describe this a little more nicely without using graphic words, but that was the way it is. After a few minutes, the boy pushed the girl's head down and she started to kiss it. She was still crying. Finally, she stopped crying because he put it in her mouth, and I don't think you can cry in that position. I had to stop watching at that point because I started to feel sick, but it kept going on, and they kept doing other things, and she kept saying no. Even when I covered my ears, I could still hear her say that. My sister came in eventually to bring me a bowl of potato chips, and when she found the boy and the girl, they stopped. My sister was very embarrassed, but not as embarrassed as the girl. The boy looked kind of smug, and he didn't say much. After they left, my sister turned to me. "Did you know they were in here?" "Yes, they asked if they could use my room." "Why didn't you stop them?" "I don't know. I didn't know what they were doing." "You pervert," was the last thing my sister said before she left the room, still carrying the bowl of potato chips. I told Sam and Patrick about this, and they both got very quiet. Sam said that she used to go out with Dave for a while before she got into punk music, and Patrick said he heard about that party. I wasn't surprised that he did, because it kind of became a legend. At least that's what I've heard when I tell kids who my older brother is. When the police came, they found my brother asleep on the roof. Nobody knows how he got there. My sister was making out in the laundry room with some senior. She was a freshman at the time. A lot of parents came to the house then to pick up their kids, and a lot of the girls were crying and throwing up. Most of the boys had run away by this point. My brother got in big trouble, and my sister was given a serious talk by my parents about bad influences. And that was that. The boy named Dave is a senior now. He plays on the football team. He's a wide receiver. I watched the end of the game when Dave caught a touchdown throw from Brad. It ended up winning the game for our school, and people went crazy in the stands because we won the game. But all I could think about was that party. I thought about it quite for a while now, and I looked over at Sam. "He raped her, didn't he?" He just nodded. I couldn't tell if she was sad or just knew more things than me. "We should tell someone, shouldn't we?" Sam just shook her head this time. She then explained about all the things you have to go through to prove it, especially in high school when the boy and girl are popular and still in love. The next day at the homecoming dance, I saw them dancing together, Dave and his girl, and I got really mad. It kind of scared me how mad I got. Thought about walking up to Dave and really hurting him, like maybe I would have hurt Sean. And I think I would have. But Sam saw me and put her arm around my shoulder like she does. She calmed me down, and I guess I'm glad she did because I think I would have gotten even more mad if I started hitting Dave and his girl stopped me because she loved him. I think I would have gotten even more mad about that. So I decided to do the next best thing and let the air out of Dave's tires. Sam knew which was his car. There's a feeling that I had Friday night after the homecoming game that I don't know if I will ever be able to describe, except to say that it's warm. Sam and Patrick drove me to the party that night, and I sat in the middle of Sam's pickup truck. Sam loves her pickup truck because I think it reminds her of her dad. The feeling I had happened when Sam told Patrick to find a station on the radio, and he kept getting commercials, and a really bad song about love that had the word baby in it, and then more commercials. And finally, he found this really amazing song about this boy, and we all got quiet. Sam tapped her hand on the steering wheel. Patrick held his hand outside the car and made air waves, and I just sat between them. And after the song finished, I said something. I feel infinite. And Sam and Patrick looked at me like I had said the greatest thing they had ever heard. Because the song was that great, and because we all really paid attention to it, 5 minutes of a lifetime were truly spent, and we felt young in a good way. I have since bought the record, and I would tell you what it was, but truthfully, it's not the same unless you're driving to your first real party and you're sitting in the middle seat of a pickup with two nice people when it starts to rain. We got to the house where the party was, and Patrick did this secret knock. It would be hard to describe to you what this knock was without sound. The door opened a crack, and the guy with frizzy hair looked at us. Patrick, known as Patty, known as Nothing, Bob. The door opened, and the old friends hugged each other. Then Sam and Bob hugged each other. Then Sam spoke. This is our friend, Charlie. And you won't believe it. Bob hugged me. Sam told me we were hanging up our coats that Bob was baked like a fucking cake. I really had to quote that one because it has a swear. The party was in the basement of the house. The room was quite smoky and the kids were older. There were two girls showing each other their tattoos and belly button rings. Seniors, I think. This guy named Fritz something was eating a lot of Twinkies. Fritz's girlfriend was talking to him about women's rights and he kept saying, "I know, baby." Sam and Patrick started smoking cigarettes. Bob went up to the kitchen when he heard the bell ring. When he came back, he brought a can of the beer for everyone, as well as two new party guests. There was Maggie, who needed to use the bathroom, and there was Brad, the quarterback of the high school football team. No kidding. I do not know why this excited me, but I guess when you see somebody in the hallway or on the field or something, it's nice to know that they're a real person. Everyone was very friendly to me and asked me a lot of questions about myself. I guess because I was the youngest and they didn't want me to feel left out of place, especially after I said no to having a beer. I once had a beer with my brother when I was 12, and I just didn't like it. It was really that simple for me. Some of the questions I was asked was what grade I was in and what I wanted to be when I grew up. I'm a freshman and I just don't know yet. I looked around and I saw that Sam and Patrick had left with Brad. That's when Bob started passing around food. Would you like a brownie? Yes, thank you. I was actually quite hungry because normally Sam and Patrick take me to the big boy after football games, and I guess I was just used to it by now. I ate the brownie, and it tasted a little weird, but it was still a brownie, so I still liked it. But this was not an ordinary brownie. Since you're older, I think you know what kind of brownie it was. After 30 minutes, the room began to slip away from me. I was talking to one of the girls with the belly button ring, and she seemed like she was in a movie. I started blinking a lot and looking around, and the music sounded heavy like water. Sam came down, and when she saw me, she turned to Bob. What the hell is your problem? Come on, Sam. He likes it. Ask him. How do you feel, Charlie? Light. You see? Bob actually looked a little nervous, which I was later told was paranoia. Sam sat down next to me and held my hand, which felt cool. Are you seeing anything, Charlie? Light. Does it feel good? Uh-huh. Are you thirsty? Uh-huh. What would you like to drink? A milkshake? And everyone in the room, except for Sam, erupted in laughter. He stoned. Are you hungry, Charlie? Uh-huh. What would you like to eat? A milkshake. I don't think they would have laughed any harder even if what I said was at all funny. Then, Sam took my hand and stood me up on the dizzy floor. Come on, we'll get you a milkshake. As we were leaving, Sam turned to Bob. I still think you're an asshole. All Bob did was laugh, and Sam finally laughed too, and I was glad that everyone seemed as happy as they seemed. Sam and I got up to the kitchen and she turned on the light. Wow, it was so bright, and I couldn't believe it. It was like when you see a movie in theater during the day, and when you leave the movie, you can't believe that it's still daylight outside. Sam got some ice cream and some milk and a blender. I asked her where the bathroom was, and she pointed around the corner, almost like it was her house. I think she and Patrick spent a lot of time here when Bob was still in high school. When I got out of the bathroom, I heard a noise in the room where we left our coats. I opened the door, and I saw Patrick kissing Brad. It was a stolen type of kissing. They heard me in the door and turned around. Patrick spoke first. "Is that you, Charlie? Sam's making me a milkshake. Who is this kid?" Brad just looked real nervous, and not in the Bob way. "He's a friend of mine. Relax." Patrick then took me out of the room and closed the door. He put his hands on both my shoulders and looked me straight in the eye. "Brad doesn't want people to know." "Why?" "Because he's scared." "Why?" "Because he is..." "Wait, are you stoned?" "They said I was downstairs. Sam is making me a milkshake." Patrick tried to keep from laughing. "Listen, Charlie, Brad doesn't want people to know. I need you to promise that you won't tell anyone. This will be our little secret, okay?" "Okay. Thanks." With that, Patrick turned around and went back into the room. I heard some muffled voices and Brad seemed upset, but I didn't think it was any of my business, so I went back to the kitchen. I have to say it was the best milkshake I'd ever had in my life. It was so delicious, it almost scared me. Before we left the party, Sam played me a few of her favorite songs. One was called Blackbird, the other was called MLK. They were both very beautiful. I mention the titles because they were as great as I listened to them sober. When I listened to them sober. Another interesting thing happened at the party before we left. Patrick came downstairs. I guess Brad had left, and Patrick smiled. And Bob started to make fun of him having a crush on the quarterback, and Patrick smiled more. I don't think I ever saw Patrick smile so much. Then, Patrick pointed at me and said something to Bob. "He's something, isn't he?" Bob nodded his head. Patrick then said something I don't think I'll ever forget. "He's a wallflower." And Bob really nodded his head, and the whole room nodded their head. And I started to feel nervous in the Bob way, but Patrick didn't let me get too nervous. He sat down next to me. "You see things, you keep quiet about them, and you understand." I didn't know that other people thought things about me. I didn't know that they looked. I was sitting on the floor of a basement of my first real party between Sam and Patrick, and I remembered that Sam introduced me as her friend to Bob, and I remembered that Patrick had done the same for Brad. And I started to cry. And nobody in that room looked at me weird for doing it. And then I really started to cry. Bob raised his drink and asked everyone to do the same. "To Charlie." And the whole group said, "To Charlie." I didn't know why they did that, but it was a very special thing to me that they did. Especially Sam. Especially her. I would tell you more about the homecoming dance, but now that I'm thinking about it, me letting the air out of Dave's tires was the best part. I did try to dance like Bill suggested, but I usually like songs you can't dance to, so I didn't do it too much. Sam did look very pretty in her dress, but I was trying not to notice because I'm trying not to think of her that way. I did notice that Brad and Patrick never talked once during the whole dance, because Brad was off dancing with a cheerleader named Nancy, who was his girlfriend. And I did notice that my sister was dancing with the boy she wasn't supposed to be around, even though a different boy picked her up at the house. After the dance, we left in Sam's pickup. Patrick was driving this time. As we were approaching the Fort Pitt Tunnel, Sam asked Patrick to pull to the side of the road. I didn't know what was going on. Sam then climbed in the back of the pickup, wearing nothing but her dance dress. She told Patrick to drive, and he got the smile on his face. I guess they had done this before. Anyway, Patrick started driving really fast, and just before we got to the tunnel, Sam stood up, and the wind turned her dress into ocean waves. When we hit the tunnel, all the sound got scooped up into a vacuum, and it was replaced by a song on the tape player, a beautiful song called Landslide. When we got out of the tunnel, Sam screamed this really fun scream, and there it was, downtown. Lights on buildings, and everything that makes you wonder. Sam sat down and started laughing. Patrick started laughing. I started laughing. And in that moment, I swear we were infinite. Love always, Charlie. Okay, guys, this was a bit of a longer recording. I'm going to probably put a trigger warning in the title just because there were some graphic things mentioned in this. But thank you guys so much for listening, and I hope you guys were really comfy. And yeah, I will be back very soon with another upload. Take care.